Welcome back to the Tank Me Later podcast, which is part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Noah Rubin. This is episode 49, and for this episode, we're going to be talking about some dynasty risers, some dynasty fallers, as well as some players we're going to be watching over the final week of the regular season, which is also known as Silly Season. Let's get into it. Before we get into anything fantasy basketball related, I just wanted to let you know that support for this Fantasy Basketball International podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Shaving your jewels doesn't have to be risky business anymore, thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This trimmer is all about keeping things smooth and safe so you can trim with confidence. Treat your wrinkle berries and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com to get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FBI. With Manscaped, it's easy grooming and no surprises. I've been able to start using their products recently. I've used it twice, I think, now. It's been great. I've never really used anything like that, so I don't really have any experience with it. But it's been very easy to use. Like they said, keeping things smooth and safe, that has definitely been something that I would agree with using their products. We know every dude gets the heebie-jeebies when it's time for a close shave down under, especially when using the wrong tools. That's precisely why Manscaped is my go-to for those delicate spots. This fifth generation trimmer, which is the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. So you take a little off the top with the first blade, and then if you want to get the even closer shave, you use the second one. That's kind of what I've been doing. It's like a layered process, so it works out really well. With dual LED spotlights, you'll achieve better visibility, making every trim more precise and hassle-free. Worried you'll make a mess? This bad boy is waterproof. You shave in the shower, in the bath, or in the ocean. I cannot attest to shaving in the ocean, but shaving in the shower has made things a lot easier to clean up. I love this thing because it comes with a compact case. I take it with me I don't take it with me everywhere I go, but it is something that I can take with me everywhere I go. It makes it really easy to travel with as well. Trust me, this trimmer will be your crown jewel's new best buddy. And you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code FBI at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code FBI at manscaped.com. Show your balls some love and feel free as a dove. Wow, that was fun to read through. So yeah, just to recap that, you can feel free to support us and our brand. I know we don't really have anything that we charge for other than leagues. So if you want to be able to support us and you feel like that we deserve it, if you don't feel like we deserve your support, then that's totally fine. Don't worry about anything I just said. But if you feel like we deserve a little bit of support, go buy a product and use our code. It'll help us out a lot, and you get a great deal because you get 20% off free shipping. And I know they already have some deals on their website, and I believe you can stack those, so it works out really well. But now that we are through the ball talk, we can get to the basketball talk, the fantasy basketball talk. As I said, with the intro, just going to be talking about some dynasty risers, some dynasty fallers. I did that intro like four times because I kept saying dynasty followers. I don't know why I kept doing that, but and then also talking about some guys that we're going to be watching or just keeping an eye on over the final week of the regular season. And then probably going to be talking a little bit about what the summer is going to look like with this podcast, because I know it's been a little over a month since I did an episode. Apologize for that. Things were just very busy with blurbing and everything like that. And then just didn't have a ton of time to really invest in episodes and making them high quality. So instead of trying to crank out an episode every week, I have been slowly prepping to have more in-depth episodes once the regular season ends. So this is probably going to be one more that isn't the most in-depth, but that's okay. Because I don't think it'll even start next week. It'll be technically the week after that. Trying to do multiple episodes a week, and have them be more in depth with more guests, but we'll get into that at the end. Briefly going to talk about that. But before we get into anybody that is rising or falling in Dynasty, I do want to recap what happened in my fantasy leagues, because if I'm going to get up here and every week or more often than that and tell you what you should be doing with yours, you should know at least how I kind of did, even if, you know, it didn't necessarily go great for me this year. So I just have all the, like, the main leagues that I was in. I believe this is all of them, or at least the main ones. I know there was also the friends and family FBI one that we did as well. I didn't make the playoffs in that one either, but so Industry Pickup was the league that we started this year. That's just analysts. It's supposed to be like a pro league featuring some really good fantasy basketball players. And that was cool to be able to compete against them. And for most of the season, I was teetering on the line between making the playoffs and not. I know that Adam King and I have discussed how that went down. I think I finished, it may have been 8 or 9. So a couple spots out of the playoffs, but it ended up being really close. Although I'm going to pull that up on my fan tracks just so that I can see exactly how the games turned out, but was close the whole way. Okay. So I finished 9th, half game back of 8th, a game and a half back of 7th, and 2 games out of the playoffs, but also 2.5 games out of 5th. So it was 5 of us really competing there for 2 playoff spots. Yeah. Because the top 4 was pretty, it was locked up fairly early. So with my team on that one, I had Joel Embiid drafted in the first round. And for a while there, I was able to kind of compete around the 6th spot. But in the end, not having Joel Embiid for a while there, I think really hurt me, which I don't think that's unfair to say. I don't want to just sound like I'm making excuses or anything like that, but having Joel Embiid unavailable definitely impacted my team. Jimmy Butler also missed some time around when we were trying to fight for playoff spots. And then obviously, I know I've mentioned this before, drafting Jordan Poole in round 4, a nice recipe for disaster there for me. So that's why I didn't make the playoffs, as well as other teams playing well and making good moves. But yeah, having Joel Embiid, not only in that league, but in pretty much every league I was in, most of the leagues I was in, really did me in this year, because that same thing happened with the FBI World Cup, which I'm going to try and pull up because I think I have that one hidden, because it, the way the World Cup works, if I'm sure everybody listening to this is involved enough with FBI to know exactly how that works. But if you're not, that's okay. It's, I don't remember exactly how many teams, but there's like a ton of divisions. So you start off with your 12-team division, and then the top team from each division moves on to the next round, and then it just keeps filtering out until there was eventually a champion. So with my team, my first 3 picks were Joel Embiid, James Harden, Desmond Bane. I remember specifically auto-drafting James Harden on accident because I didn't set my cue, so rookie mistake by me, but not having Joel Embiid for a bit, as well as and the first few games of not having Harden didn't end up mattering and ended up being a fine pick. And then Desmond Bane missing a ton of time. So I was down Embiid and Bane, really, went into the playoffs, because the playoffs started for that in January. And then the first division ended January 28th. So that one's been done for a little while, but me and the 7 seed, because I was the 8 seed, me and the 7 seed, we're both 49-48-2, and we ended up meeting in the championship for that league. He beat me 6-3, so he went on to the next round. I don't actually know how he ended up doing, but I hope he represented the Queenstown division well. But yeah, that's I thought I was going to be able to make a fun run there, but that's what happened in that league. Again, not having Embiid and not having Desmond Bane kind of did me. And also, I think I'm looking at my roster again now. I had Chet. I had Jalen Williams. Happy with those. I had Josh Giddey. That kind of stinks, because he's only really played well the past few games. Kind of a stinky season for him. The next league is Jonas Nader's 30 deep league. I am tanking in that one. It's a dynasty league. I believe the rest of these are all dynasty leagues. Don't do quite as many redraft leagues, but I wanted to do a few just to be able to keep up with content. It makes sense. Mostly dynasty leagues. My team in this league is Keontae George, Austin Reeves, Jairus Walker, Bam, Cam Thomas, a couple other like okay pieces, but those are kind of my main guys. I picked up, this was my second year with this team. It was a dispersal draft when I took over. So I have, I had a few first round picks last year. That's how I was able to get Keontae George, Jairus Walker. I think I got Chris Murray in that draft as well. I had Alex Caruso, but I traded him away. So got a couple of nice young pieces. Not sure exactly what I'm going to do with that team yet. Obviously have a few nice young pieces and then three first round picks this year. I think the two other picks are going to be pretty late, but my first should be fairly early. We haven't done the lottery yet, but let me look at the final standings. I think it will be – Ventrix wants to cooperate. I finished 22nd, so I think I'll have the 9th best lottery odds. And I don't remember. If I'm not mistaken, this league does it based on how the NBA lottery actually plays out, I think. Which right now, that would be Brooklyn's pick that is going to Houston. So if that holds, which based on the way standings are, I think it should. I'll be hoping that the Nets get embarrassed by trading away their pick. So that's the way that one's looking. The next one is the Tank Me Later 30 team. This was the league that I started this year, the 30-team Dynasty League. A couple things about this one. Only starting 5 players. We're going to, I think, talk about rule changes some this summer. But this past year, we started only 5 players, all flex. I know that some people have already expressed they want to expand starting lineups. We'll see. It's weekly lineups. I got Victor Wembanyama. And then I also have AJ Griffin, Onyeka Okongwu. I was able to trade for Mitch Robinson. I have Tari Eason, Grady Dick. A couple other young guys. I went pretty young, but seeing how good Wemby is immediately, going to probably try and go a little harder next year. I also finished 22nd in that one, so I have the 9th best lottery odds. The way we do it in this one is, honestly, the lottery is not in favor of tanking, but since I was a pretty young team, I wanted to go ahead and do it. The top 8 picks will be decided through the lottery, and I think the bottom 3 teams all have like a 10% chance because everybody that made the playoffs has a 1% chance of getting the top pick. And then the champion also gets an extra percent. So if you win the league, which it was Blake with the Vancouver Care Bears that won this year, he'll have a 2% chance at getting the top overall pick or just kind of getting into the lottery. So it should be a pretty hectic lottery. I hope I don't get screwed too badly by my own rule, but if it happens, oh well, it's hype, and that's what we do fantasy for. One, to make money, but two, I think if you're not doing it just because it's fun, then what are we doing? Because, I don't know, maybe that's just my opinion, and some people are like, no, that's absolutely insane. I'm here to make money. I don't care about having fun. Like, okay, that's fine, but I'm here to have some fun too. The Dynasty 30 is the league that we started. I think this was year 2. Where it was just 30 analysts, a lot of Dynasty guys, a lot of just really good fantasy basketball analysts in there. My team is Evan Mobley. I got Anthony Black in the draft last year. Kobe Bufkin. It's not a really good team right now. Like, I have Bryce Sensabaugh actually on my minors. I think that's what they call it with Fantrax. It's like a taxi squad if you play fantasy football. Probably most people listening to this are more familiar with the term minors, which is fine. I have 1 first and 4 seconds this year. And I know last year I got taxed for invalid roster or invalid lineups or something, which totally was on me because I was trying to improve my lottery odds. So I have I had the worst record in the league right now. So I should have the best. And it's like, Oh no, like it's literally the worst class possible for me to do this, but I still like a lot of the guys. I'm excited to dive into that draft more because I really do like a lot of the guys. I hope I'm not getting too excited about them and it really is going to be the worst class in a while, but I either have the worst or close to the worst lottery odds. And I have my first this year and then I have 4 first next year, but I think a lot of those teams are going to be pretty good. So may not help me all that much, but, my core is Evan Mobley. and then probably whoever I had in the first this year, along with Anthony Black, Kobe Bufkin, a couple other guys with upside. So I did that. We did this draft because it was 2 years ago. So it was before I was doing any dynasty content, and I really didn't know quite as much as what I was doing in comparison to some of the other guys. I think I obviously knew some of the guys at the top, but I'd never done a 30 team draft before. So that was certainly very, very interesting. So my team is not very good. You know, probably be a slow rebuild, but we'll get there eventually. Roundball Rhetoric. This is a league that Rhett started, another 30 team this past summer. This one is kind of, I feel like I'm treating this one, honestly, I say this with a ton of Jazz players, but also kind of the way that the Jazz have been treating their team the past couple of years. So I have Lauri Markkanen. I traded for Denny Avdija, Walker Kessler, a couple like guys, Harrison Barnes, Bojan Bogdanovic, Colin Sexton, Grady Dick, AJ Griffin, Jet Howard on my bench. So I like a lot of these young guys. And then a couple like guys. So it's like just kind of a middle of the pack team. I think I actually made the playoffs in this league and then lost round one really bad because my team is not all that good. So I have one first and 2 seconds this year, and then I have two first the year after that. So just kind of like competing every night and having a solid squad, but also not being afraid to trade away guys at the right time. Just like slowly seeing how I can manage assets to not fully tank and still be able to acquire young guys. So, so hopefully having the extra first the next 2 years, I can maybe trade away some of these other guys, get some extra picks, help my pick, and try and get Cam Boozer in 2026. And then next draft, I literally always forget this, Cooper Flagg. I don't know why I always forget Cooper Flagg's name. And it's gonna be a name that I'm going to have to be talking about quite a bit over the next year. So a year plus, and then for a while after that, because he's going to be freaking good. Maybe I'll be able to swing the impossible. And then in my home leagues, I did one redraft home league. It was some friends from college asked me to play in an ESPN points league. Had a really good record, had a pretty ridiculous team, actually. ESPN's rankings are obviously going to be not ideal. I think that's been a pretty like common thing, like idea for most people that are playing in pretty competitive leagues. Is you look at ESPN's and you say, oh, I'm going to get some really good value there. So I can tell you my draft by team or my team. I went Embiid round one. I got Trae Young at 17. And then I went Kyrie, Karl-Anthony Towns at 37, Kawhi, Paul George, Hero, Jalen Williams, Bradley Beal, Jeremy Grant, Klay Thompson. Like just guys that I shouldn't be getting that late, especially in a points league. Was able to pick up DeAndre Ayton and Paolo Banchero off the waiver wire because people got mad that they started off bad. My team was pretty stacked. And by the time I got to the playoffs, I had the first round bye, and it was like a 2 week playoff. And then by the time my team was ready to play, Trae Young was hurt, Joel Embiid was hurt, DeAndre Ayton was hurt, Tyler Hero was hurt, and so everybody was hurt. So it is maximum amount of moves you can make. So I'm having to drop all these guys just to have players playing. And I ran out of moves within the first week of the matchup just because I had to like have guys playing because I hadn't dropped these guys before. So probably rookie mistake on my part there. Now that I'm thinking about it, I probably could have made those moves the week before. Dang, I really should have did that. Oh, well, lost that league. And then my home dynasty league, I lost in the championship. And again, not to sound like I'm making excuses, but I did. Here's the players that I had hurt during that championship. I think SGA was playing. SGA was still playing then. But LaMelo Ball, Scottie Barnes, Alperen Şengün, Jeremy Grant, Jakob Poeltl, Vince Williams, Joel Embiid was still hurt. Tyrese Halliburton, actually he ended up having a couple good games, but I ended up, I think, losing that one either 7-2 or 6-7-2. Was fairly close there for free throw percentage and threes, and lost blocks by one. So it wasn't, 7-2 sounds like a blowout. It was fairly competitive. It was just running into one of the other stacked teams in the league. I'll say one of the other ones. But he was healthier. So that's the way it went for me. No championships, which stinks. Probably makes me a fraud of a fantasy analyst, but we're gonna come back motivated next year. So that's how my leagues went. And I think that took a little bit longer than I was expecting, but I just got excited to talk about the future of some of my dynasty leagues. So we'll go ahead and get into a few of these guys. So these are some guys that I think I haven't made new dynasty rankings yet, but these are guys that I'm looking at where I had them last time. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's probably going to go up. So, and then this is also where I had them ranked during my last update, which was right after the trade deadline. Zion is a guy that I've been fairly low on, but I think a good bit of that has been the injuries that he's dealt with. And then just kind of like, I guess the way you may want to look and build the team I was trying to be is like, oh, like he can't help you with three categories. So what is that doing to his fantasy value? Cause he's not hitting threes. He's not hitting free throws. And he's turning the ball over. But I think he's shown more of a playmaking ability a good bit, and Point Zion has been a thing. And he's had some big games, especially recently. So yeah, I think I'm going to probably bump Zion up a little bit in my dynasty rankings. I don't know how much, probably not too dramatically much, but I wanted to get somebody that was kind of ranked that I had fairly high that is going to keep rising outside of just, oh, you know, one or two spots. I might adjust this, but I think Zion's going to be a guy that's top 40 for me. Jalen Green, as I pull up his numbers here, obviously he's been on an absolute tear during Houston's winning streak, which is now over, and they've lost three in a row, and he's been kind of average in those games. He had a 26-point game against Minnesota, but only 13 against Golden State and only 12 against Dallas, poor shooting nights. But he was on an absolute tear before that, and it's not the first time that he's had a late-season tear, but since this one was a little different because they were actually competing for a playoff spot, and then it's probably not going to happen now, especially after losing to Golden State, but showed some fight there. I'm excited about what Houston has moving forward because obviously no Şengün for this one for a while, and they were still able to go on a bit of a run. Jalen Green has the ability. It's just a matter of him doing it and doing it consistently. So, yeah, no, I think he's going to be probably closer to 75 for me next time. And that's just an estimate. I'll probably have to actually go through and look and see who he's going to go above before I say a specific number. But I think that 75 to 80 range sounds pretty good to me, and certainly could go up even higher because he has that type of ability. It's just we haven't seen it consistently. Josh Giddey, Basketball Monster, has him 41st over the past 2 weeks. It's been a crappy season for him for pretty much the entire season until like 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks? Maybe less than 2 weeks. About 2 weeks, we'll say. He had a triple-double in New York, a 23-7-9 game against the Suns. Kind of been able to have the ball in his hands a little bit more with SGA missing a little bit of time. He's had some good games. Like, I think he's a guy that I had a lot higher, and then because of, you know, this long, can we even call it a slump if it was like 3 or 4 months of him playing bad basketball? Or, excuse me, playing bad fantasy basketball. We'll say that. I don't want to go too in-depth, but he is 144 this season in 9 cat leagues, 41st over the past 2 weeks. So the like improvement in points, like all of his numbers across the board, specifically the field goal percentage have been improved. So yeah, I'm excited about what he's going to be able to do moving forward. Now that he has a little bit of confidence, I think what he does in the playoffs will also be pretty telling because I think I saw a quote for him saying that having teams like sag off him and letting him shoot would like mess with his head a little bit. And now he's just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to make him pay if they're going to leave me open. I think that's a good mentality to have because you go to the playoffs and they're going to say, yeah, no, please, Josh Giddey, you beat us in the playoffs. We're not going to let SGA. We're not going to let Chet. We're not going to let Jalen Williams. We're not going to let Isaiah Joe get hot off the bench. We're not going to let you beat us. See if you hit shots. And if he's hitting them, that's going to do numbers for his confidence. It's going to do good things for the team, help them extend their run. It's going to come down to that, I think, a good bit. Obviously, it's a ton of factors, but that's going to be a big one. So what's that going to do for his confidence? Because if he's not hitting shots and, you know, they can't play him, okay, well, what's that do for his confidence next season? I mean, we saw, not to totally compare situations, but when Ben Simmons had issues where he wasn't obviously knocking down shots because he's never been able to, he's not shooting them. And then he had the play where, you know, he could have dunked on Trae Young, but got scared and passed it out because probably he didn't think it was Trae Young under the basket. But he was so in his head. So now, you know, not that I think that they'll do what Doc Rivers did and say, like, I don't know if we have confidence that Ben Simmons can help us get to the next level, which is like literally ruined. I don't, not directly ruined his career, but I think all those factors led to that being an absolute mess. And it's like, I'm confident that Thunder won't be that outright, you know, negative about it if Josh Giddey just isn't hitting shots, but his minutes have been down this year. So like, they're not afraid to bench him. So it's just something to keep an eye on, but I think that overall, like, I'm excited about what he's been doing, and he has potential to rise even higher if he plays well in the playoffs, and potential to actually end up being a faller if things don't go well. Naz Reid has absolutely shined with Karl Anthony Towns injured. Obviously, he's pretty limited when both Kat and Rudy Gobert are healthy, but how long can Minnesota keep all three? I know Naz Reid just signed a new contract, but do they trade one of Kat or Gobert? Probably, I would assume, more likely to trade Kat than Gobert, because you'd be getting more back, and it would make more sense to keep Gobert and Naz Reid than Kat and Naz Reid, in my opinion. Or do they trade Naz Reid and try and get something back? I don't know what they do. They have options, but I can't imagine them keeping all three for years and years. Naz Reid's still young. Whether he starts in Minnesota or starts somewhere else, he's shown that he can be really, really good when he gets the chance. So excited to see that happen, and it has been happening. Excited to see it be more of a long-term role for him. When that happens, I don't know, but I think he's a guy that you get now with the idea that he's going to be a starter within 2 years, I'd imagine, and play really well. Tyus Jones in Washington, I think I still am not convinced. I don't think it's a common idea that Tyus Jones is like the long-term point guard answer in Washington, but I mean, I think he could start for a few years, like at least, like, it entirely depends on who they draft. And Jordan Poole has played well as starting point guard with Tyus Jones out, so maybe that changes things. But 138 is too low considering what he did in nine cat leagues this year. It's too low. Like, I had him ranked too low even at the time, I think. So his value isn't going to be elite for 7 years, but I think he's a solid option the next two or three, and that's enough for him to be ranked higher than this in dynasty leagues. So I can't, it's about balancing, and I'm sure everybody understands this, but balancing what a player is going to do next year, 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, and like, how important is that? Okay, so Tyus Jones is going to be a guy that really helps you win leagues for the next 2 years, and then he's average after that as a nice spot starter. Okay, that's probably more than, or like, should be ranked higher than 138, because he can be like a top 75, maybe top 60 guy for 2 years. Josh Hart has been phenomenal, and 168 is too low. He doesn't give you many points, but he, like, New York is the place for him on that Knicks team. He had 31 last night. Let me see. Is that a season high? It may have been. Yeah, season high by far for him. Almost had a triple-double with that. The minutes are insane there. He's been, past 2 months, Basketball Monster has him 68th. He's been a top 100 guy the last 2 years. Overall, the numbers are down this year, but since Tom Thibodeau decided to start playing him 40-plus minutes per game, it's been great. Now, when the Knicks are fully healthy, I don't think Josh Hart is a starter because, you know, you have Brunson, DiVincenzo, probably OG, Julius Randle, and then probably Mitch Robinson or Isaiah Hartenstein. So there's guys, but Josh Hart's going to play a solid role off the bench regardless. And then when he gets the chance to start, Thibodeau is going to take him off the floor. Higher than 168, in my opinion, even if he is 29. The last riser is Trayce Jackson-Davis, the second round, almost literally went undrafted after kind of expecting to be an early second rounder. He started recently for Golden State. Steve Kerr talked about, we might still roll with Trayce Jackson-Davis as a starter even when Jonathan Kuminga comes back, just because they've been winning games, which makes sense. Like, that's kind of what Steve Kerr has done this year. He said, oh, we're going to stick with this lineup. for the foreseeable future. That's it. That was his line this year. And then it would be a few games and he'd change it up. So he's saying like, oh, like we'll probably stick with this. And like, you could take this as another example of that. Like, I bet if Kuminga comes back, Trayce Jackson-Davis starts, they lose one or two games, I bet that he would make a change and move Kuminga back in. But he's a really good center option for a team that hasn't had a really good center option for a decade. And when I guess I'm saying like a classic, like seven footer, that's an effective scorer as well. Like Kevon Looney obviously did a phenomenal job and played his role really well, but I guess he wasn't necessarily like the biggest threat as a scorer. Whereas Trayce Jackson-Davis, pretty decent scorer, pretty decent lob threat, had 20 last night. So yeah. And actually I'm looking at that, like he's still a little bit undersized, but still, I think he's a pretty good option for them. And he could continue to start, and I'm assuming he's going to have a role there for a really, really long time. Dynasty Fallers, LaMelo Ball, I had at 8th. And I mean, I had him, gosh, did I have him, I'm trying to think. I didn't have him first, but I had him like top three, like a year ago, or like a year and a half ago. No, I think it was like a year and a half ago that I had him like really, really high. You know what it was? I did my top 25 fantasy players in 2028, like in top 25 in 5 years. And I had LaMelo at 1. That's what it was. That's the rankings that I'm thinking of. But he's been a guy that I'm consistently high on, but the injuries are not something that we can predict, and like he can easily come back healthy next year and be totally fine. And we'll probably rise back up. But, you know, are we confident that, because if we're going to say that LaMelo would have been healthy if they were more competitive, played 22 games this year, 36 the year before, 75 the year before that. Are we confident that Charlotte's going to be competitive next year, or is it going to be kind of something where it's like, hey, oh, LaMelo twisted his ankle again. Now let's just sit him. Let's get another pick. We're not that good. Like, or is it something where, oh, LaMelo's just going to do what all the other quote unquote injury prone guys did this year and bounces back, plays 70 plus games and is elite. Like that's a possibility. When I say a faller, I mean like I might drop LaMelo from 8 down to like 10 or 11. But we'll easily bounce him back up if things go really well. I don't want to say it's just about the injuries, but that is kind of a factor here because it's consistently been ankle injuries. Steph Curry is a guy that had a lot of ankle injuries early in his career and ended up being totally fine. I hope that's the case with LaMelo, but you know, it's hard for me to, for example, 9 was Trae Young, a guy who just had his first major injury and it was a finger injury. And Anthony Edwards, like, are 9 and 10, like two guys that have consistently been available, which is a big factor, I think, when it, like, it's an impossible factor to necessarily determine because, like I said, Trae Young has been pretty available no matter what. And then all of a sudden, his random finger injury is out for, you know, pretty much everybody's fantasy playoffs. Not something to predict, but two guys that have been out there pretty consistently. I think when the numbers aren't that different, or in some cases, like, I think, like, Trae Young has had a better season than LaMelo has had. So just factors that will depend on the team, but probably bump LaMelo down a few spots. Mikal Bridges, I think everybody was really high on, and he just needs to be dropped down. Like, he had a really good stretch to start his Nets tenure and just hasn't been able to replicate that. Still been available to play, which is huge, and it's where most of his value comes from. But he's ranks 82nd in 9-cat this year, 112 over the past 2 months. He's still capable, but I think 42nd is a little too high. So he's probably like – definitely still top 75, probably still top 60, but I think it's 42 is high. So I'm probably going to drop him down. Siakam, since joining the Pacers, his numbers are fine. He ranks 63rd over the past 2 months, I think 57 is just a little high. He's a guy that just turned 30, and I can't imagine him, like, I could easily see him not having a top 50 finish for the rest of his career. I mean, he was 44, 35, 49 the last 3 years, 75th so far this year. So a little bit of, like, it's gotten better with the Pacers, but as far as his nine cat value, which is, you know, depending on how you look at it, can really be something that's valuable or something that's not, depending on your team build as well. So yeah, he's probably a guy that as he gets a little older will continue to go down my rankings a little bit, especially with some of these younger guys playing really well. Nick Claxton is a guy that probably going to drop down a little bit. Simply, this kind of comes down to the lack of, or I guess the weight influence of center stats, because a lot of centers end up being very valuable in nine cat value because they get a ton of rebounds, block a ton of shots, and have a really high field goal percentage. All those in comparison to other players. And then he doesn't turn the ball over, which helps too. But he's helping you in four stats and then not doing anything slash hurting you in five. So even though he ranks 65th this year, probably going to have to start dropping him and other centers in general, just like down a few spots. If your team is built where you need rebounds, blocks, field goal percentage, you're going to win turnovers, and then you just need to win one of the category each week. Obviously, Claxton is going to be more valuable for your team, but just in general, because of how much like he'll actually kind of harm your free throw percentage as well, it ends up, I think 72 might be it, just a touch high. I still think easily top 100. Probably not dropping him down too much, but I think kind of trending down. Again, similar to Siakam, just like as younger players enter the league and grow, like, Claxton is not going to be a guy that I have to keep super high. Jrue Holiday is almost 34. He's had some, like, obviously he's missed some time recently. Hasn't been great, really, since he came back. I guess he's had one really bad game, which kind of tanks his value a little bit over the past week. Not a guy that I'm concerned about as far as how good he's going to be for the Celtics and how impactful, but if he's going to spend the past or the last couple of years of his career with Boston, like, the numbers just aren't going to always be there, you know? Like, he's still a really good defender, but he's averaging 0.9 steals, 0.8 blocks this year. Like, a lot of the value is going to come from steals and assists, which 4.9 per game this year. So it's like, there's other guys there that'll have the ball. Derek White's also there to play defense. Like, Jrue Holiday isn't getting the same stats that he was able to in the past as the point guard and the top defender. Boston's just too good for him to really be elite in fantasy basketball. So, yeah, no, I think 83 is probably a little high for a guy that's about to turn 34. So I'll probably start dropping him a little bit. I have some other guys that are getting to that age that I've slowly been dropping, just because you have to think about, like I was talking about earlier, okay, how good are they next year? How good are they in 3 years, in 5 years after that? Is Jrue Holiday going to play until he's 39 or 40? Like, we were seeing LeBron and Chris Paul, guys like that, do it, but is every NBA player going to play until they're 40 now? And if, are they going to be able to keep it up the way LeBron has and the way that even Chris Paul has? I don't know. So it is 3 years of past his prime Jrue Holiday better than all but 82 players? Probably not. So I think that's why he's a guy that's going to be sliding down for me. AJ Griffin is still a guy that I'm really, really high on, but unless Atlanta's trading him or he takes a massive leap this summer and all of a sudden comes into a bit of a role with them, 126 was ambitious. It was me believing in his talent and having him be on a team where I thought he would be able to get minutes, but he's hurt right now, but even when he wasn't hurt, like, they were playing Garrison Matthews and Trent Forrest over him. So there's some sort of disconnect there between what we've seen with AJ Griffin and what Quinn Snyder believes about AJ Griffin. I thought, especially for a team that wants to shoot threes, that AJ Griffin would be a great option, but I think three games this year that he played more than 10 minutes in a game. Excuse me, four. The last time he did it was in November. 126 is, like, even if I really believe in his talent, I need to drop him just because if he's not able to do that for the next 2 years and he ends up not being like a great nine cap fantasy option, like I really believe in him as a scorer, as a shooter. But is that going to necessarily translate to elite nine cap value with it? Like if he's starting, sure. But if he's not playing any minutes, is he going to get the chance to earn that? I don't know. I feel like, again, still really like his talent. Mainly just have to drop him because he's not playing basketball. Hopefully he gets to be able to next year. But if they were playing Garrison Matthews over him when he's healthy, I'm not confident that that's going to happen soon. But I hope it does. Still believe in his talent, but I have to drop him because this 126 has to be a guy that I think is contributing this year, unless it's some generational prospect. Probably the only way, and I don't think AJ Griffin fits that mold for either of those qualifications. Just the way it is, but I hope it works out because I do, again, I know I just keep repeating myself just to make it clear, but I believe in his talent. Ben Simmons, I had in the top 200, and I don't think I'm going to do that again. Obviously, he's good when he's on the floor, but he's just not on the floor. Played 15 games this year, played 42 the year before, which is, you know, kind of impressive, I guess, looking at it. But obviously, always the minutes weren't always there. Only helps you in a couple of, we'll say three categories, really: rebounds, assists, and steals. Field goal percentage isn't bad, but he doesn't shoot the basketball, so he doesn't help you there. So, yeah, not a guy that I'm going to have in the top 200 again. Even if he is talented, it could work out. Just logically, business decision, I need to take Ben Simmons out. Players to watch. So obviously there is, I think, 9 days left in the regular season. Actually, the time of recording this, 10. I guess 10. So Tristan Vukcevic, Noah Clowney, Grady Dick, Bryce Sensabaugh, Gigi Jackson, Scoot Henderson are some guys that I'm going to be keeping an eye on because actually Gigi Jackson may not even fit this just because he's already played past what we expect him to as a rookie. But the final week or so, obviously, like, some teams are tanking, and if I'm not mistaken, actually everybody from this list has already been eliminated from the playoffs. Yeah, that's confirmed. The Nets don't have their pick, and maybe I'm just being hopeful that they'll say, hey, like, even though we're not going to help our pick, we kind of need to see what we have in this guy we just drafted in the first round. Let's give Noah Clowney minutes. We'll see what they do. But he had 22 and 10 on Wednesday night. Tristan Vukcevic got the start, has had two games in a row. As long as Rashawn Holmes is out, he should continue to start. Grady Dick is going to continue to start, even if, I mean, I can't imagine that they bench him at this point because they're also trying to help their pick out. But RJ Barrett's back on Friday. Ochai Agbaji, Bruce Brown, and Gary Trent Jr. are all back. So they will have other options, but they've been pretty good about giving Grady Dick minutes. I mean, they drafted him again in the lottery. We need to see what we have. Bryce Sensabaugh was a late first rounder that's played really well recently. Has had a few good games this season, but really well recently. No more Lauri Markkanen this year. He's going to continue to get minutes. Gigi Jackson, especially Memphis has been tanking since like February. So he's gotten a ton of minutes and that'll keep up. And then Scoot Henderson, what's he going to do with his final few games? He had a really good one. I think it was Wednesday night. I don't remember the exact numbers, but let me pull that up. Where he had 22 and 10, he had 13, 8, and 9 the game before. Obviously, he had that minus 58 plus minus, but all that means is that his team stinks and that he was on the floor the entire time because nobody else had that plus minus because he played 41 minutes of that game. So, no, he wasn't able to go into Miami. And I mean, he didn't play all that bad. He had 26 and 6 and 20.6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 44%. Field goal percentage on 18 shots. Like, it wasn't a great performance, obviously. Like, I don't think you can play great. Like, he turned it over 7 times. Like, you can't play great in a 60-point loss. But I don't know. Miami's a good defensive team and kind of has been for a while. So I'm not too concerned about that, especially because he was able to score 20. Like, it's the playoffs, so it's different. But we saw Trae Young in a full playoff series, like, just struggle the entire time because of the Heat's defense. And I understand that's different because different defenders on that Heat team. It's a playoff series as opposed to just a random regular season game. It was a 60-point win. But the plus-minus is not something that I really care about, because if he would have had four different players out there with him, that plus-minus would have been very different. It would have had nothing to do with him. So not good for the team, but it just meant that he was on the court the entire time during a blowout loss. The numbers have been pretty good recently. Top 200 the past 2 weeks, despite the turnovers being ridiculously bad. He's a rookie point guard playing on a bad team. Of course, the efficiency is going to be bad. I'm hoping that he'll just be able to keep this up for the final six games of the year and then be able to go into next season with a little bit more confidence after a full offseason on an NBA team. Still love Scoot Henderson long-term. Excited to see what he does, because with silly season, obviously there's going to be a lot of guys that just randomly put up numbers. And we just saw Malachi Flynn score 50. Respect Malachi Flynn, but this is not the turning point of his career where he becomes a superstar. Those random things happen. So we're looking more at the rookies that are going to get extended minutes that haven't really been getting minutes this season. That's why I was saying it doesn't really apply to G.G. Jackson. And Scoot Henderson only applies to because he's now seeing a larger role and has been the past couple of weeks. So those are some guys I'll be watching. Just a quick look ahead as we wrap up this episode. Last summer, when I started this podcast and started doing Dynasty content, I went through each team. I did three write-ups a week covering three teams and then talk about them on a podcast. That was what I did for the week. Going to do it a little differently. I'm not going to do any write-ups, I don't think. Not planning to anyway. And that any written content will probably just be on NBC, but I don't have anything planned. We're at Roto World. But as far as planning to do two things a week, an episode with the team recaps, kind of like I did, where it was having a guest talking about three teams, talking about whatever else, and doing that once a week. And then the draft prospects, I'm going to probably, my plan is to make some like more digestible episodes. So as opposed to, you know, we're going to talk about five prospects for an hour, I'm going to do short 10-minute-ish, maybe less episodes. Okay, hey, we're going to break down this prospect really quickly, just give you the basic information, a couple of things about what I think it could look like, the worst case scenario, best case scenario, a couple of other things, and just talk about a prospect for like 8 to 10 minutes, and that'll be an episode. And trying to do those a few times a week, maybe like, like a few times a week. And then that way, you know, okay, like quick drive to work. Oh, let me hear about this prospect today. 10 minutes, boom. A little bit familiar. It just makes things easier as you go into the NBA draft and then your rookie drafts to have an idea of what these guys look like. So doing those, and then mock drafts. Started doing a slow dynasty mock draft with a handful of analysts. So we're going to see how that turns out. Just started that last night. We are four picks in. So I will give you a sneak preview of the first four picks. I have the number two pick. So it went Victor Wembanyama, Luka Doncic, SGA, Nikola Jokic. No surprises, in my opinion, whatsoever. And I would assume, if it were to say no surprises for me, Tyrese Halliburton is the next pick. But that could all change. We'll have no idea what Dynasty Hoops ends up doing. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Take Me Later podcast. It was fun to be back, and I'm excited to get into what we have planned for this summer. As far as guests, as far as talking about the draft, should be fun. So excited for that, to not all my focus to be on blurbing games and more of the focus to be on what we do here and just doing more dynasty stuff. But like I said, that's going to do it for this one. You can follow me on Twitter at NoRubin22. Follow us on Twitter at FBI Basketball. Like, rate, review this podcast wherever you consume it. And once again, just as a reminder, you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code FBI at manscaped.com. And that would do a lot to help us out. But yeah, thanks for listening to this episode, and I will see you next time.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.